So we come to the end of our letters on John. We've been studying over the last few weeks. And in the previous letters, we've seen, as Richard mentioned, that these letters from John are kind of a circular argument that he raises. The truth. It's all about the truth, not all about the bass, which is a different song altogether. It's all about the truth. He says, all Christian life flows from this truth. And the truth is that Jesus Christ came, fully God, fully human, died for us. And those that trust in the truth become children of God. And being children of God, we are called into a relationship not only with him, but with those who are also children of God. We are called to have a love relationship with each other. And therefore, back to the truth. And this is an argument that he repeats again and again. John 1, in 1 John, in 2 John, and then in 3 John. But there are different people to whom he's talking in these three letters. So in our first letter, John was writing to this church as a whole, to the congregation as a whole. And in the second letter from John, he was writing to a woman and her child, so to a family, as it were, within the church. And now we come to his third and final letter in this series. Of course, his final letter was Revelation. I'm not going to be speaking on that. As Richard said last week, much too much for one sermon. But he's writing to an individual within that church. And the subject he wants to tackle and to keep in mind is this circular argument that if we hold to the truth that we are loved by God and we are children of God and therefore we're called to act in that manner. And that manner should bring unity and should bring hospitality. And he's looking at how these people that we're going to look at in a minute interact within the body of this church. It's not a letter to the outside world. It's a letter to you and I, to those who believe in the truth. Or say they believe in the truth, we'll find later. But you know, churches are made up of lots of different people, and sometimes it's a little bit difficult. Here we have good old Charlie Brown's young friend Linus. And he once aired a view shared by many. He had just told his big sister Lucy that he wanted to be a doctor when he grew up. And I don't know if you know Charlie Brown, but you may remember that it was Linus who once said that big sisters are the crabgrass in the lawn of life. He was not particularly fond of his big sister. But he spoke to her and Lucy couldn't believe her ears when he said that he wanted to be a doctor. You, a doctor? That's a laugh. You could never be a doctor. You know why? Because you don't love mankind. Immediately, young Linus countered, I do love mankind. It's people I can't stand. Indeed, if it weren't for people, this world would be almost a perfect place, would it not? That's a sentiment sometimes we have when we wake up in the morning. But 3 John, which some commentators think was written at the same time as 2 John, because they're so similar. In fact, they've got exactly the same ending, more or less. We meet 3 people within this church to whom he's writing. The first one is Gaius, the person to whom he's addressing this letter. From the elder, that's him, John, to Gaius. That's in verse 1. In verse 9, we meet somebody else, Diotrephes. We'll look at him a little more later. And the third person in verse 13 is Demetrius. And the teaching we have to learn from this letter of John today relates specifically to how we look at the actions of these 3 men in relation to knowing the truth, knowing God, and acting as God's disciples and messengers within the church. So firstly, we have Gaius. We know nothing about Gaius, except that Gaius is a Roman name, very common. So maybe he was a Roman convert in this church, we don't know. But he's a dear friend of John. He's addressed like this no more than four times in this letter. Verses 1, 2, 5 and 11. He talks about him being faithful to the truth. What's the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. The truth which we have looked at throughout these letters of John. And this love that comes from this truth should unite the family of brothers and sisters. And John addresses him, stressing that he's one whom I love in the truth, because he is one who is showing that love. The genuine love of Christian friendship is one that should bind together. We see in the opening verses that his genuine concern of John is also for his physical well-being. I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. You see, the physical is important to John as the spiritual. They go hand in hand. He's worried about his brother and wants him to be well so that he can continue doing his good work. Sometimes in the church's life, two diametrically opposed opinions have been held. One, that the physical is just an encumbrance to the spiritual. That we are not physical beings, we are members of God's kingdom, our home is somewhere else, so that we should look on the physical as something just to be dismissed. And the other side of the argument has always been when it's gone completely the other way, and the church has said that if we are Christians and we are following the way and we're praying hard enough and we're being good enough, we'll never get sick and we'll always be wealthy and we'll be prosperous. Each are errors. We are fully human, and therefore we are fully open to what happens in this world, and we are also fully spirit if we belong to God's kingdom. In fact, we are as the Trinity is. God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, and we are physical and spiritual. And the truth is that when we come to Jesus, those two parts need to hold together. But John is mainly concerned in his letter about the spiritual actions of Gaius. He says, you continue to walk in the truth. It's really easy when you first become a Christian to be really gung-ho. Yeah, I'm going to go out there for the Lord. I'm going to do everything for the Lord, and I'm going to work for the Lord, and I'm going to be full of his spirit. And then the day-to-day life comes in. And church squabbles. Things happen. Perhaps we get a little jaded. The edges get knocked off. But not with Gaius. It's obvious from what we hear later that he's got problems in his church. People are not being as they should be. But he's standing up for the truth. And so he's commended for that. Faithful to the truth. We need to be faithful always to the truth, not to allow corruption or outside errors to weigh on us, but to keep walking in that truth. And that was expressed in his way of welcome, we hear, to travelling believers. He entertained them. He welcomed them in. He sent them on their way. It's a generosity of hospitality and warmth and welcome. That's what John is praising. That's what we hope people find here in St. Mark's. A generosity of hospitality and welcome to all people. But specifically in this case to people who were going out on God's mission. We're called to work together with them. So this faithfulness to Christian love is also praised in Gaius by John. His attitude of generosity, his attitude of unity. He didn't know these travelling creatures, but he knew they were God's workers. And so he is unified with them in helping them. It's important that we are welcoming to all people who are true and who are following Christ. It doesn't matter if they're of a different denomination, or a different church, or a different mission. We are one in God. It's about unity, unity, unity. It's funny, F.F. Bruce points out that this is the only letter in the New Testament where Christ doesn't get a mention at all by name, but he's definitely there because he's mentioned as the name, the truth. If you were looking at reading, you'd have noticed that truth and name both had a capital letter, because he is the one. And verse 7 reminds us that because of the name, we are to go out. It's for the sake of the name that these people were going out. They didn't get any help from people outside of the church, and so the church was there to show them the way and to help them and to help them in their work. We're called to support people in their missions. That's why we have mission partners. That's what following the truth is about. Well, we've got somebody else in our reading. Diotrephes. Not so good. He's being called a Christian fraud. And he is the person that in ways John uses as a counterpoint to Gaius and later to Demetrius. He is a man who this short letter exposes has false motives, has sub-Christian behaviour. He's in the church. He's actually an elder of the church. Perhaps he's a bishop. We don't know. But he seems to have a lot of power. We're very quick to judge politics and politicians outside in the world. But sometimes the actions of people within the church can have the same errors. And what are the signs of what I call Diotrephes disease? Hopefully we don't have any Diotrephes disease in this church. I'm sure we don't. But we need to be mindful that it doesn't creep in to our own lives. Loving to be first. Loving to be first. The world says, love yourself. Put yourself first. Stand up for yourself. Nothing particularly wrong with that. But we are not first. We are not first. And he wanted to be first. He opposes John's teaching. What is John's teaching? The truth. About the truth. About Jesus. About the preeminence of Jesus. Gaius is faithful to the truth. Diotrephes opposes it. He spreads malicious nonsense. Oh, gossips. We hate gossips. Rumours. Talking badly behind people's backs. These are not signs of Christian love. And he seems to have another motive. That is to be in charge. He's broken off this relationship with John and he wants to be in charge. He refuses to welcome other believers. I pray that never is ever accused of our church. And he stops others from doing so. Not only stops them from welcoming them, he throws them out of the church if they do. This is not a person who you would want to have as your bishop. And, when he comes, John says, I will call attention to what he's doing. Because he's not satisfied to let it rest. It is important that a church holds to the truth, walks in the truth, is welcoming, hospitable, and unified. And this person within this church is causing disunity. In direct contrast to Gaius, who is welcoming strangers, welcoming Christian brothers. Here is someone who is not. Because the heart of Diotrephes is wrong. It's strayed from what is the truth of Christian love. Strayed from the grace that God brings. And the warning for us all is that when our Christianity becomes more about us and ourselves and not about God and others, even if we appear to be exemplary Christians on the surface, then we've lost our way. Because there is only one person who can have preeminence in the church. And I said at 8:30, it's not Richard. Sorry. And it's not Martin or Ruth or even Justin Welby. There is only one person who has preeminence in the church, and that's its head, Jesus Christ, the truth. And a true Christian is one who reflects his life and his relationships and his love within the brotherhood of the church. We are called to be welcoming, to be open, to set ourselves not above others, but beside them, praying for them, as John prayed for Gaius. And so we meet our third person, Demetrius, who is spoken well of. And he is used and held up as an example to counter Diotrephes. Dear friend, says John, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. And then he goes on to say, Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone and even by the truth himself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. We don't know if Demetrius is the person taking the letter to Gaius. He may well be, and that's why he's being commended to Gaius. But John clearly contrasts the behaviour of Diotrephes against this of Demetrius, who is well spoken of by everyone. And isn't that what we want as Christians? The only way we make any impression on those who don't know the truth is by being like the truth. Because if we are frauds, people will see that, as John saw with Diotrephes. Our spirit has to be the spirit of God, and the spirit of God is one of welcome, love, openness, forgiveness, unity, peace. If Diotrephes exemplifies what is evil, then Demetrius in verse 12 will model what is good. What is good is in harmony with God's will. What is evil is at variance with God's will. What is good is to act in love and unity. What is evil is to cause disunity. We see it all around us in the world today, but unfortunately also in churches. Good puts Christ first. Evil puts self first. John is unambiguous. Those who are of God have been born of God and possess eternal life, which is the power of God to redeem a person's life. And it can only be produced in a person when God comes to live in that person and they surrender their self to God, to Jesus. It can't be counterfeited. We are known as Christians by how we act towards each other within the church family. This is the central theme of John's letter. We're called to be based in the truth that Jesus Christ is God, that he has provided his Holy Spirit, and we're called to be filled and to live our lives dedicated to his service. Demetrius is introduced here not so much to draw attention to himself as a person, but to show the antithesis of Diotrephes, as Gaius does also. A Christian life cannot be hidden, should not be hidden. It should be evident to everyone. We should be well spoken of. Finally, John ends his letter in almost the same way he ends the second letter. He wants to come and see them personally rather than to write, but he's waiting for them to try and sort out their issues. He wants to have conversations with Gaius. He wants to encourage him to stand up for the truth. And he wishes them peace. Peace to you, because peace is what the Spirit of God brings. The Spirit of God brings peace. Unity, not disunity. Love, not hate. Welcoming, not exclusion. And he adds the blessing of God's peace to this Christian fellowship, because those who belong to the truth belong to one another. We belong to each other. one in Christ, one in God. Certainly, the first century church had its problems, much as the 21st century equivalent does, because we're all fallen human beings, and until Christ returns, we still will be. But every problem we meet can be met with God's grace through His Spirit. Every disunity can be made unified by God's Spirit. There are challenges every day. But if we're holding to the truth, walking in the truth, as Gaius did, as Demetrius did, then we can change and put Christ at our centre. And if we make Christ number one, then He will enable us to keep to the truth, to keep walking in the truth, and in truth to love one another as Christ has loved us. And then there will be peace. And then there will be unity in the church. Amen.